Hi, this is Mark Talbot. I post a Zolt in a 20-foot radius.
Hi, this is Derek Myers. I post a Zamorin at DungeonsMaster.com. And welcome to our podcast, Recounting Encounters.
A show where we talk about what happened at D&D Encounters this week. Hey everyone, welcome to D&D Encounters, Storm Over Neverwinter, Season 13. This week we start Chapter 2, Chaos in Helm's Hold, starting with Session 5, Into the Mouth of Madness. Joining me this week again is our regulars, Craig and Derek. How are you guys doing this evening?
Pretty good. How about you?
Very, very, very well. Excellent. This week, pretty straightforward, right? The guys, everybody has a little bit of a respite. They spend 2 days and they do whatever they want to do. The storm abates for a bit, but then on the second day, the storm kind of builds up a little bit. Somebody comes over and says, oh my god, Helm's Hold is under assault, blah, blah, blah. You go over to Helm's Hold, you try and find a way in. We have not prisoners, we have patients. We have some patients and we have some dominated people. And we finish on a conclusion of suspense. So I guess I summed it up pretty good, or what?
Yeah, in a nutshell.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, in a nutshell.
I think we all sort of tweaked it a little bit to suit our needs, but that's sort of the long and the short of it. So,
correct.
Now, Mark, if I remember correctly, when we spoke last week, your group was a little bit behind, so this week you were sort of playing a little catch-up before you got into this week's encounters?
We did. The catch-up was actually quite fantastic. We went to Eldon Vargas's house. it was kind of funny. You know, sometimes when, as a DM, you kind of improvise as you go, right? But have you ever gotten to the point where you forgot what you've said in the past?
Oh, because you've deviated from the book and you don't remember what you changed?
Correct.
Yeah, yes. I've done that a few times. And the players usually correct me. They're like, no, that's not what happened. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right.
That's exactly what happened.
Because they don't know it's not in the book.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's what happened this week.
They usually think you're trying to pull a fast one. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That guy was the one who sold us the sword. Oh, yeah, of course he was. Sorry, my mistake. I read it wrong. Wink, wink.
Yeah, my players caught me on one this week. A couple, actually. I guess we had deviated so much from the story with the Beach Leviathan and everything. We had the fight on the second level. And then I said, when two of the party members were escorted or were basically kicked out or they ran out of the Beach Leviathan, they were handcuffed and everything like that. And then all of a sudden, the demons locked the doors in the Beach Leviathan. So by the time the party members got in, they came in and I said, oh, yeah, well, all the guards are slaughtered. The five guards that came in with Mulnhorn, right, were slaughtered all over the ground. And you see this demon across the room. So then this week I say, okay, well, the guards that were outside, they said, whoa, there were no guards outside. We were kicking at the door. They could have helped us. Okay, so they came down the road. You said that the streets were empty. And I'm like, shit.
Right? You're just getting busted left, yeah. Right, and center.
Yeah. Exactly. So it was one of those nights. Yeah. And
were you cheating then or are you cheating now?
Exactly. But anyway, so we get to the point where we introduce the dead rat, right?
The little girl?
Darla. So little Darla comes around, and the guy says, she comes up, she goes, well, for 30 gold pieces, I'm going to tell you, some information about some high-level person that's going to get killed. This is long and short, right? So our ranger just turns around and goes, hey, look, little girl, I'll give you a gold piece, if not, I'll beat you senseless. And I'm like, what the hell do I do to this then?
Yeah, I had some guys do that last time. They're like, no, we offer like one or two gold pieces. I was like, okay.
So she goes, don't worry, Ranger. I know a lot about what's going on with you. So then the rogue goes, oh, well, I'll torture you then. She goes, you hit the little rats. I'm quite popular. I am the leader of the little rats. You hit me, your thieves guild's going to go down. Right? So I'm just kind of making an excuse. And she goes, oh, well, I'm just going to go. So she started walking off. He goes, I'll give you 10 gold pieces. She goes, look, my price is fair. I said, the dead rats don't give us enough money to sustain ourselves, and this is why we're constantly thieving and everything like that. So if you don't go with the 30 gold pieces, I'm leaving. I'm just walking. So they said, oh, okay, well, okay, just give her the 30 gold pieces. We have plenty from the previous sessions, right? That's kind of like a big football huddle. So they give her the 30 gold pieces. On the way, they did a few of those skill checks and stuff with the looters are taking advantage. So they managed to stop the guy who's, threatening people in the center square. We ended up, you know, going down the road, and all of a sudden we had him in handcuffs, or we had him restrained anyway, and the horse just comes barreling down the hall, so we had to kind of split left and right. The guy gets up, he goes crazy again because the horses are going crazy, so he took off down the road, so they had to go get him after. But our party members spent, you know, actual powers, spells to cast stuff like Expeditious Retreat. They jumped onto the wagon. One tried to take a woman off, but the woman was so scared, she was kind of like a drowning person. As a drowning person, she managed to kick the guy off the wagon, the PC off the wagon. But the other one took advantage of his ride check ability. I believe that was the ranger, was able to take advantage of his ride check. And no, it wasn't the ranger. It was the paladin. He actually had the ride skill, so he decided he's going to jump on the back of the horse, and just go from there. So, going from there, yeah, it was just really, really a lot of good role playing interaction with the NPCs and everything like that. Then they went back to Eldon Vargas. Then they went to Eldon Vargas's house, killed everybody in there. The wizard decided that he was going to try and kill Eldon Vargas because he really liked his staff. Now, for those of you that don't know anything about D&D Next, Eldon Vargas, this might be a spoiler, has very limited hit points, to say the least. The wizard threw a fireball into the house and hit Vargas, and basically more than bloodied him. He had like 10 hit points left. Unbelievable. And so I just made him run away. But he kind of took it back, and he said, no, I didn't want to kill him. I didn't want to, you know. So it kind of got screwed up. But long and short, we did that. And then we did a couple of days of doing, you know, whatever. We walked to Helm's Hold. We got the messenger that came up to us. And long and short, we're just about to go into the cathedral now. So it was quite exciting. It was a good session. We spent most of our 2 hours role-playing.
You have to say, Mark, that it sounds like every week... we're hearing a lot about your role-playing and how it's always such great role-playing. So do you think that has something to do with Next, or just with this season, or maybe with your particular group?
I don't know if it's the group, because it's pretty much the same group every week. I think it's the fact that we're not bogged down with powers and skills.
Right.
I think it's you kind of go to the box. You don't have a piece of paper telling you what your character can and cannot do. It just gives you a bunch of stats. And long and short, you make up what your character could do. You could try anything. And I think that's what I like about no skills, is you've got a dexterity score, right? But once again, is the DM at this point has a chance to say, you know, when the guy said, oh, here, the wizard's going to cast Expeditious Retreat on the ranger. The ranger has a move of 35. So the ranger says, okay, well, I'm going to spend my full move and jump on the wagon. Well, technically, if you look at the rules, if you take the rules and interpret them as they say, well, the guy did a double move action, et cetera, and he shouldn't be able to go on the wagon. But as the DM now, there's nothing for me to say, hey, you know what? Jump on the wagon. Don't even need just roll a strength check.
It's a rule of cool, man.
Yeah. And it turned out to be really good, and there's no power, there's no character sheet, there's no nothing telling the character what they can or cannot do. And I think they're thinking out of the box now. And it's putting me on my toes now, because I haven't done that in a few years.
Yeah, nice. That's cool.
So now, Craig, unfortunately, you didn't get to run it or play it this week due to scheduling conflicts.
Indeed. Yeah. Once again.
You could be the moderator.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, on the plus side, we're going to do a big makeup session next week and get totally caught up, which, in all honesty, I think will be better just because, you know, you're not sort of do the one encounter, okay, go home, we'll have that immersion of, you know, blending from one encounter to the next. But
right, yeah,
you know, unfortunately, that's not something that we can do every week. And
It was special circumstances this particular time.
Are you guys gonna stay longer?
It worked out well.
No, we're actually gonna try and start a little bit earlier so we don't have to stay quite as late. So
but you'll condense, I guess, the two encounters in one session.
Yeah, and the nature of the encounters that works out rather well. So should work good anyway. We'll see how it goes. But then I'm also going to be running it again at the other store, too. So.
Oh, you're DMing at the Snail.
Yeah, because one of the regular DMs is not going to be there. So, yeah, so if I can fill in for him. But of course I can.
Cool. So you'll get a spot at that busy store.
Yeah, for the past couple weeks, I've had to step aside to let other players in, because, you know, I don't want to take up their spots since I already have experience with these encounters generally. So it'll be nice to get a, like, sort of a full dose of it again.
Very cool.
Indeed.
Cool. So I ran a table of six again tonight, and we actually didn't get it all the way through the encounter. We defeated all the monsters, but anyway, I'll go through that. So we ended last week's basically as written. They had the fight at the Eldon Vargas's house, and I had not read ahead. Like it had been a while. I hadn't read the week five encounter while we were playing week four, so I didn't realize that it was a couple of days were supposed to pass. I thought it was the very next day. So I had just said at the end of the encounter, he's like, you know, he had told them about Helm's Hold, how he was trying to get in, but they were denying him access. And if they could, you know, go with him to try and use their influence to gain access. And they're like, yeah, no problem. So he's like, I'll meet you guys there tomorrow. Then when I read ahead and I realized, oh, well, it's supposed to be a couple of days, I thought that made more sense. So I just sort of waved my DM wand and said to the group, okay, basically we're just going to say, you know, at the end of last week's, he needed a couple of days to lay low because obviously people were after him. He'd meet you there in 2 days and go from there. So I gave the PCs a chance to do basically whatever they wanted during that time. And lo and behold, they basically did all the things that are listed in the adventure. So a couple of the guys wanted to go see Lady Nidris. So they did that. I was able to then throw in the additional detail that Zan had basically gone mad during the Night of Madness, after he had, you know, been returned following the kidnapping, and that the guards had taken him to Helm's Hold to try and cure him of his new madness. Another one of the PCs went to the Beach Leviathan to try and get some information, and lo and behold, found out that he had become a local celebrity. And I described it like a nightclub. I'm like, you guys show up. I go, you show up in the middle of the afternoon, and you don't think it's going to be that busy. And there's this huge line, and there's a velvet rope, and there's a bouncer. He's asking people, you know, what's your name? Homer Simpson, not in the list. And so I'm like, when you come around the corner, everyone's like, oh my God, that's him. And he's like, what the hell's going on? And I'm like, the bouncer like ushers you over. Come on in, sir. Right this way. Right this way. He's like, what the hell? He's thinking he's like a VIP. And then when they come in, everyone's like, here he is, one of the heroes that saved the tavern. And everyone's like, yay. Of course, this is the guy who's like the rogue. He's trying to keep a low profile because he's a dead rat's deserter. And meanwhile, they're like shining the big spotlight on him. And everyone wants to buy him a drink. And the ladies are coming up to him. They're like, if you need companionship, I just live down the street. And he's like, oh, ladies, maybe later. I'm like, and a couple of guys offer you that same thing because, you know, well, they're, you know, they're a very advanced town. And he's like, okay, well, that's nice. And
equal opportunity, so, yeah, employment.
Absolutely. So you know, we had a little bit of fun hamming that up. And then one of the characters in his backstory, he has this thing where he's looking for a lost companion. So he basically said, okay, during the 2 days, this is what I do. I go and do my thing, and I find my lost companion. I'm like, you know, I let him do his own thing. We didn't actually make him do any roles. He just basically jotted a few point form notes down and said, okay, this is what I want to do during these days. I'm like, yep, no problem. Boom, it happens. However you deem appropriate for your character. He's like, okay, cool.
So you found Stinky.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be his sister or something. I don't remember the specifics. And then one of the guys is just like, I'm going back to is it Midnight's Mask is the name of the tavern?
Moonstone Mask.
Moonstone Mask. Yeah. I couldn't remember. And so the guy's like, I'm just going to go back there and hang out. And then, of course, that's where they're having the wake for the dead soldier. And so the party basically says, yeah, we're just going to go back to the mask after and meet up. And so that worked out well because that's where the funeral's being held. Or the service, anyway, and so they interacted with the, what's her name?
General Sabine.
Sabine, yeah. And so, you know, during that time, they were all trying to get information about Helm's Hold, so I just read them the little description out of the Neverwinter book, and I really played up the fact that it's like, this is a sanctuary, like, anybody and everybody can go there, and everybody is welcome, and the only reason you would be denied access is if you're being stupid. Like, if you you know, if you try and shoot someone, or you try and break in, or you try and steal something, I'm like, just for common sense stuff, if you do something stupid, they'll kick you out. But like, otherwise, everybody gets to go in. And so they're like, yeah, we heard that the gates are closed. And as they started to inform people that they had heard this, it's like, oh, okay, well, that seems very unusual. You should go check it out. And so when they were ready to leave, I just had Eldon Vargas sort of on the horse outside of the town. He was like, yeah, okay, I've done my stuff. I'm ready to go. And they're like, yeah, we've acquired these letters from Lord Neverember, you know, stating that we're acting on his behalf and they have to let us in no matter what. And, you know, the whole role-playing part probably took about an hour, which was good. I find that the group you know, some of the other tables at the store, they tend to rush through that component because they want to stick to a certain time limit. And I find that the other groups tend to be finished like within 90 minutes, and the DMs do what they can to make sure 90 minutes rolls around, we're done. But I mean, I'm not in any particular hurry, so I usually let them go on, especially with the role playing side of it.
That's cool.
And then when they got to Helm's Hold, so now this is where I sort of deviate a little bit from the adventure. On the forums, Eric Scott DeBee, the author of the adventure, had posted some suggestions for how to maybe tweak a little bit of the adventure, especially when it came to the NPC Eldon Vargas, because the way it's written, he doesn't meet up with the party at this point. He's already at Helm's Hold. And, you know, it just sort of seems a little bit odd. So the suggestion was, if he's befriended the party and goes with them, here's how you can work that interaction. So we opted to do that. And when the party arrived, I said, you know, there's like 20 or 30 people outside the castle. And they're like, you know, we've been here for a few days. They won't let us in. And the party, of course, bangs on the door. And they're like, let us in. We have these letters. And the guys are like, nope. There's a riot in progress. There's escape prisoners, or not prisoners, but escape patients that are dangerous. We don't want to let anyone in or anyone out, so the doors stay closed. And they're like, we have these official letters. They're like, we don't care. This is for your own safety. You know, we're not going to. And they're like, oh, what can
I? Yeah, I thought you were going to say, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin.
No. And then they actually gave up pretty quickly. And so I thought, okay, well, I better encourage them. So I had some of the mob outside, but break the door down, break the door down. You know, because then nobody had suggested like we should break the door down or pick the lock or anything. And one of the guys is like, oh, well, no, we can't do that. This is a holy place. We can't defile it. And I was like, oh, okay, you want to take the high road? That's great. And then they're like, okay, during the role playing, one of the guys had actually said, I try and find like a map of the castle or a book that explains sort of its history. So he's like, when I did that research earlier, did I know if there was other entrances and exits? I'm like, yeah, there's like a back door. No problem. He's like, oh, okay, great. Can we just go around the back? I'm like, well, no, it's like a fortified thing. There's like a wall. So, but I go, you guys can climb over it. So they all made some checks. And I'm like, everybody going? Yeah. And they, you know, they didn't make any real effort into it. So I'm like, okay, well, nobody said anything about being quiet or doing it with a stealth roll or anything. So I'm like, the mob sees you climbing over and they're like, hey, they're going in the back way. We should follow them. And the party's like, oh my God, we don't want them coming after us. They're going to blow any chance we have of surprise. So then they're like literally running through the backyard to try and get around to the back door as fast as they can before the mob climbs the wall. And so I go, you got about two rounds. And by the end of two rounds, from whenever you stop, they'll catch you. So they come around, they find the back door. The rogue makes his thievery check, fails it by one. And then it's like, I'm like, anyone else want to try? And I didn't say he failed it by one. I'm just like, no, you can't get it. He rolled, I think 21 was a DC, rolled a 20. Now he's rolling on a plus 15, so we only rolled a 5. He's like, can I try it again? I'm like, no, it's too complicated. You can't figure it out by yourself. And I'd given the other guys an opportunity to assist. Everyone's like, no, his roll is good enough. We'll let him do it by himself. But a single assist would have been enough. So I said to him, I go, you can't be the primary, but I go, you were close enough that you can still provide an assist. And I'm like, with your plus 15, that's an auto assist. So one of the other guys is like, my thievery is like a 6. And I'm like, well, you'll get the plus 2 from the rogue. He's like, okay. And he rolled exactly the 21 he needed. So I was like, he goes, 21? Because he knew the 20 failed. And I was like, yep, 21 is exactly what you need. I go, thanks to Randy's assist. Boom. You got it. All right. But it took them two rounds. So as they're going in the door, I'm like, the mob is like literally right around the corner. At the end of the round, they're going to be coming right behind you. And they're like, okay, everybody, this round, get in and close the doors no matter what's inside. So I'm like, okay, fine. So now what I had done was the map as it's laid out is the full side of one of the posters, which is beautiful to look at. But I found it revealed too much to the party.
Definitely.
So what I had done was I actually photocopied the whole map and then I cut out each room one by one so that depending on where they went in, they wouldn't get the layout of the whole building. They would just get the layout of the immediate area. And that way it would encourage more exploration. And they couldn't metagame it and say, well, you go this way, I'll go this way, we'll meet up over here. And so when they came in the back way, they just had the long, narrow hallway. And then there was the barracks chamber with the beds and the chests. And then although there's an entrance to the big main grand hall, I told them there was a door there because the big grand hall is where next week's encounter takes place. And it just seemed odd that they wouldn't go in there this week. And I didn't want to have to combine the two encounters. So I just said, there's a door. It's barred. You can't figure out how to get through. And they were okay with that. And that way it forced them to go around the whole perimeter. Now, I basically had two or three guards there at the beginning that some used crossbows and some used melee. And as the combat started, I told them, you can hear more guards from around the corner, but it'll take them a couple of rounds to get here. So basically every round I had a new guy join the fight so they didn't get overwhelmed. But they basically just decided to let the monsters come to them. And once the acolytes realized that's what was happening, I had them pull back. And so it sort of forced the heroes to go around into the main room where the front doors are. And once the heroes came around to where the front doors were, I had the acolytes open the front doors and let the mob in the front. And so as the PCs come around, I put all these new minis on the board. And they're like, holy crap, who are all these people? And I was like, oh, yeah, you recognize some of them as being the mob. And they're like, oh, man. I'm like, but you don't know who's the mob and who's not. And they're like, uh-oh, now what are we going to do? So they basically had to waste a round giving the enemy a free shot at them so that they would identify themselves as bad guys. So I thought that was kind of neat that they it threw them off their game a little bit for a round. But they ended up defeating all the bad guys. They didn't kill they killed one of the acolytes, but everybody else they brought to zero and knocked unconscious, because they said, they're like, well, we don't know if they're good guys, bad guys, if they're under madness, if they're under mind control, if they're really evil. Like, they had no idea who they were. So they're like, yeah, better to err on the side of caution, except for that one guy who's like, no, screw it, I'm getting sick of the mercy thing, I killed this guy. So because we were running really long, we were about 2.5 hours by the time they finally took out the last of the bad guys, I just said, okay, we're gonna stop it here. There's more exploration, but next week's you will have an opportunity to take a short rest if you want it. And so do that mechanically, and we'll do the rest of the exploration next week. As far as this week's encounter went, I mean, it was interesting, and having the map was kind of cool because it was almost like a mini dungeon exploration, right? They were going room to room. But I found that the monsters were really soft. Like, their defenses were anywhere from, I think, as low as 12, and the big boss had an AC of 17, but I think the other highest defense was 16 for most of the guys. So the defenses were between 12 and 16 for the most part. Some of the guys at my table were rolling anywhere from a plus 12 to a plus 16 with their attacks. Like, they were hitting on everything but 1 and 2. So it sort of took the fun out of it that every single time they attacked, they were going to hit. Yeah. And every single time they attacked, they did hit. And it was just like, oh, man. You know, it really just took the fun. I could have made them all two-hit minions. Like, that's literally what it came down to. You hit him 2 times, he falls down. It almost didn't matter what the damage was. And it didn't matter what you rolled. The only exception being a crit where you do crazy damage. Speaking of crits, I must have rolled 5 crits tonight. 3 of them on the same guy with the acolytes with the crossbows, which do, I think it's 2d8 plus 4, so it's 20 on a crit. I critted them 3 times, 20, 20, 20. I brought him to within -1 hit point of his dead value.
Wow.
And yeah, so by the time he got back in the fight, at the end of the night, I asked him, I'm like, after you spend your surges on your short rest, where are you going to be? He's like, I'm going to have 1 surge left for the next 3 fights. But he goes, I'm going into next week with full hit points. I was like, oh boy, dude, like, you're in for some rough times. He even said, he goes, when my guy levels next time, he goes, I'm going to have to retrain a feat to durability just to get the 2 surges. Cause he's like, I'm not going to live through 3 fights with no surges. So that was what I found this week. 2 or 3 guys spent incredible amounts of resources because they were the frontline guys, and the guys in the back, like the one wizard, didn't use any encounter powers, didn't expend any healing surges, didn't take any damage. He used 1 daily power to summon a monster, and the monster did all the fighting. So it was like, you know, it'll be interesting to see how things progress over the next couple of weeks. Like I told them, it only gets harder from here, and yeah, your characters will level up one more time, but
well, I like your I'm coming back to your map thing. I really like that because remember when we had our Nerd Weekend a few months back?
Yeah. I did that with the Lair Assault, too.
Kill the Wizard. And that was really good because people were kind of like, okay, I got teleported in this room. There's a door there, but where the hell does it go? Instead of having the whole map laid out, that's really that.
Yeah.
And I thought the same thing, right? When we were talking earlier, I said, you know, it's too big. Everything's there.
And that's the main hall, too. It seems like that's the centerpiece. That's where you want to go.
Yeah, and if you can see the whole map, you almost, you're like, well, why can't I go there? Whereas when you can't see more than one room at a time, you know, especially with the monsters, I keep calling them monsters. I mean, they're humanoids, so technically they're not monsters. But when you can see the monsters constantly coming from one direction, it's you know, it's like a magnet drawing the PCs. Well, if the bad guys are going in this direction, that must be where we need to go as the heroes. Yet, if the big map had been open, they would have been like, well, we just cut through this main room and open the door. Like,
yeah, there's
no reason for them not to.
And that's a weird thing also. Because the start, plea from Helm's Hold, getting into Helm's Hold and all that, they probably thought that it was that would take up most of the time, because I don't see how characters wouldn't want to go straight to the middle room, especially when the room is wide open. You go around the corner, like if you look at the large map, there's no doors.
Yeah, I just told them, I'm like, although there are no doors on this map in these areas, I go, there are doors on either side here. And for the barracks chamber, the little barracks room as well, I said, assume there's a door there. And so when they came in the back door, on the way the map is drawn, you should be able to see right into the barracks, and you should be able to tell that there's an open hallway into the main chamber, into the main hallway room.
And that would have ended things right there.
Yeah, they would have just seen everything. So I'm just like, no, there's two doors. And so again, they were in a hurry. So there were guards in the hallway. They engaged those guards immediately. And at the end of the first round, they closed the doors. And then I had Eldon Vargas with them still. And so when his turn came around in the second round and they were engaged in fighting, he's just like, thanks for getting me in. I got to find my wife. And he just took off. And they're like, okay, well, we'll catch up with him later, I suppose. So, although I had he drew an opportunity attack from one of the acolytes. So I had him swing and I rolled a natural 20. And they're like, oh, he took a crit. He must really love his wife. Take a crit for her. I was like, oh yeah, he's devoted. I'm like, he doesn't even slow down, he just keeps going. And they're like, oh man, he must really love her.
So, nice.
Yeah, I said that. I'm like, don't worry, you'll find him later in the adventure.
Yeah, well, I guess it's funny, because this week also, I guess I'll be running both at once, just like you guys will be doing at Harry T.
That's right.
That'll make for an interesting talk next week.
Well, and I'm almost thinking that if your group is an experienced group, having it run exactly as printed with no doors and having them potentially access that middle chamber right away, or at least before they complete the events of Encounter 5, you basically run into having them do 5 and 6 simultaneously without the short rest. And I mean, if this was a home game, I'd have no problem doing that, because I know my players from time to time enjoy that kind of a challenge. But the way the encounters program works, that's not as likely. Oh my god. Sorry, I'm watching hockey. They scored again.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, I was like, oh boy, Blackhawks up 3-1. Yeah, with the encounters, I mean, it's tough to run that kind of a situation where you're going to have two encounters spilling into each other, especially without giving them a short rest or the benefits of a short rest. It's like, oh boy, they could be. And I think 5 out of the 6 guys in my group used their action points tonight. At least three of them used daily powers. So, yeah, they used a lot of their resources this week. But I'm really concerned about how things are going to play out over the next two. So, we'll see.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting running it, I think, at Harry T next week for being able to run it. What's it called, 1 and 2 in a row. I'm going to really look it over this weekend to decide how I want to approach it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have only had a chance to play 2 of the 4 weeks there. Just I hadn't been able to get out a couple of the weeks. So I'm looking forward to getting back to that group and playing, because I like the character I've got. So we'll see if he's able to do his thing as effectively now that they're going to be up to level 5.
What are you playing again?
Playing a Goliath monk.
Ooh, Goliath! I like Goliath. That's like one of my favorite player races.
I've sort of hot and cold with them. I mean, with certain builds, if you're just power gaming, there are certain builds that will really work. I really wanted to play a monk who I hadn't played a monk in a long time, and I was looking forward to playing one. And I wanted one that was going to be able to have a really good athletic score, because all of the powers I gave him are based on movement and jumping. And with a lot of the monk powers, it's like, use this power and get a +5 to your athletics for jumping. You're not limited by the number of squares based on your movement, and you are always considered to have a running start. Now, the beauty about having him be a Goliath is he gets to roll that check twice and take the better result.
True.
So I was like, okay, he's awesome. So I, based on the way I've got him set up, like, he can cover something like 10 or 11 squares with a single move action. So it's pretty cool. So I'm having the two encounters we've played, I've really had a lot of fun running them. So I'm looking forward next week when Craig runs us through to really let him out of the box, so to speak.
Indeed. Excellent.
Anyway, but you guys don't care about my character. We don't want to turn this into a tell me about your character.
Well, no, but I mean, we said that we'd be talking about some characters, right? That some people played, but we're just playing the pre-gens, so I mean, it's nothing extremely special, but the Ranger's quite the a-hole, if you want to put it. Yeah, he's being, well, I mean, between wanting to get Lady Nidra's pregnant, threatening the dead rat little child, He's all over the place. It's fun to play, but I'm just like, whoa, interesting character. He turns some pregen, some nice little ranger pregen, into some some megalomaniac, I don't know, sex fiend or something. Unbelievable.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Actually, I do have to comment. This is the first week all season where the party hasn't tried to burn something. It seems to be a trademark at every table I'm at where people are like, okay, we burn it down. So this was the first week that nobody even talked about burning something down.
Pyromaniacs, a lot of you.
Not even, I'm playing in like three or four different games over the course of a couple of weeks and with totally different groups. Every single group, somebody wants to burn something down. It's like you can almost set your watch by it. It's like, oh, someone wants to burn the building. It must be a half hour point. Yep. Even when we were playing Dresden Files, people were always, can we light it on fire? I was like, really? What's your obsession with burning? And it was always different people. It's not...
Yeah.
So, anyway, I think next week's encounter will be interesting, to say the least, and I think it'll really be an eye-opener for some of the players who maybe haven't felt that challenged up until now. So.
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. But we won't give any of that away, will we?
Not until next week.
Sounds good.
So, I just want to plug that we had an opportunity to talk with Eric Scott Tabee, the author of this season's adventure, and that'll be hopefully posted up on 20-foot radius and on Dungeons Master in the next week or so. So for those people listening to this, watch for that posting. And Eric gave us a lot of good tidbits about the creative process for the adventure, as well as you know, just a little bit of an insight into his general creative process and some of the things he's working on. So
yeah, that was
watch for that. Yeah.
So for those of you that don't know him, I mean, you know, if you're playing D&D, you've probably read Shadowbane, Down Shadow. This guy's implicated in a lot of stuff. So yeah, listen to the podcast. Tell you a lot about himself and plug you some stuff on the website. So take a look at it.
Mm-hmm. Watch for that coming soon.
Coming soon to a blog site near you.
So do you guys have anything else you want to talk about for this week, or is that good?
No, I believe we covered it. I mean, I'll post with this podcast the picture of the map of what it looks like, what people will understand, I guess, about the main hall front gate. Sure. Unless you want me to cover up the main hall type part.
No, because people have played it already. I think most groups probably revealed the whole map this week, and any group that did what I did, by next week it won't matter. So.
True. So yeah, so I'll post it all, and it'll probably make things a little clearer for those that may have not played it, or those that are about to play it. You'll understand what we're talking about.
Oh, you know, actually, one thing I did want to mention about this week's session.
No, sorry, we're done.
Oh, yeah, too late. Too late.
No, go ahead.
I liked seeing General Sabine, of course, and also what was her name? Seldra. The big bad from last Neverwinter.
Oh, yeah. She was in the funny house, was, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it was kind of cool to see that, like, oh, so this is what's happened to her. And now that she's sort of kind of caught up in it again, but she isn't the focus this season. But it was just kind of cool that, you know, you had that there. And I think if you have players that were in the previous season, you could have a little fun with that.
Yeah, my guys, again, we didn't finish the exploration, so they never got to the sun room. So we'll do that next week.
Oh, spoiler. That's a little bit late, isn't it? Excellent.
It is.
We're just a bunch of spoilers. Anyway. All right. So join us next week. Probably in the next week or so, we'll have the podcast up with Eric Scott DeBee. Once again, guys, thanks for joining us.
Indeed.
Thanks for joining me. And thanks for making this podcast great. And this concludes D&D Encounters, Storm Over Neverwinter, Season 13. The start of Chapter 2, Session 5, Into the Mouth of Madness. Next week, we take you into the main room where the Master of Helm's Hold is going to be.
Oh, my.
Yes. All right, take care, guys.
You can follow me on Twitter at @Amaron_DM, and be sure to visit DungeonsMaster.com for original D&D 4th Edition material, including a weekly field report of my D&D Encounters experiences.
And follow me on Twitter at 20foot and visit 20footradius.blogspot.com for your weekly dose of D&D Encounters. That's 20footradius20ftradius.blogspot.com. Until then, have a blast.